Hello, everyone, and welcome to Full Spectrum Cannabis. Here it is. We've got a great show for you today. Your favorite hosts ever, Lance and Calandra, are here. So why don't you two take it away?
Go for it, Calandra.
All right. So today we have Taylor.
What's your last name?
Shirtler.
Shirtler. Because we heard it, but I know that I would have messed it up completely. That's why I totally punted it over to you.
All right. And Taylor is here today to talk to us about testing in cannabis, which I am very excited to hear about today.
I'm excited,
all right,
too.
You excited, too?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get started.
Sweet.
All right. So, Taylor, were we supposed to do an introduction with me and you?
No.
Because they know who we are by now.
I mean, as far as Full Spectrum Cannabis, they got it figured out. And unless it's somewhere else, then it's Full Spectrum Show. Just take the cannabis out and put it in a show. That's
all
right. Great. But anyways, you're with
Legend Technical Services.
Legend.
Technical.
Legend.
I knew Legend, but then the rest of it, you know. Yes. Figured it was something technical, though.
Yeah. So Legend is here in the Twin Cities, right?
That is correct. We're located in St. Paul, just about 5 blocks away from the Capitol.
All right. So, Taylor, what is your role there?
Yes. So I am the project manager of the hemp and cannabis program there at Legend, which means that any sample that we would receive, whether it be a plant sample from an industrial hemp farmer, a gummy that someone intends to have 5 milligrams of THC in, or any other manner of product that has really any cannabinoid in it, we perform all of the potency and contaminant testing for batch release to ensure not only that it is safe for any consumer to use, but also that the potency profile is where the manufacturer intends.
This is wonderful. So we have a big player here today. And the reason I say big player is because, number one, it's hemp, and number two, testing. So you are necessary, right? You are what we call during COVID an essential worker.
Yes.
Yeah, for us.
So in cannabis, you are essential, right?
Yep.
Yes. The one sentence way that I describe it is I serve and Legend serves as the final check that every aspect of either the cultivation process or the manufacturing process was performed as intended, that the potency profile is exactly where you want, that there are no contaminants, really with the mind of consumer and public safety in mind. Because needless to say, I think everyone here at the table has the same outlook that we don't want gummies that have heavy metals that could potentially be leaching, or flower material that have residual pesticides that someone may be smoking. The work that I do ensures that everything that goes on the market is safe to consume.
Okay, so let's back up a little bit. What does leaching mean?
Leaching, yes. So leaching as a general scientific process is, let's say this bottle of water that I have in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
There is a possibility that some of the plastics or other additives that are in the bottle itself can slowly begin to kind of seep out and get into the water that's contained within. Variety of different processes can impact and affect this. It's the chemical nature of whatever is contained in the container, the material of the container itself. It's essentially, is that bottle going to have any kind of contaminant exposed to the water that's inside? As this could potentially pertain to the cannabis industry, the first example that comes to mind are with vapes. You know, there are a variety of both disposable and reusable vapes on the market that have all manner of metallic and plastic components inside for heating the fluid. And so, of course, a question that fortunately some people asked a while ago, well, how do you know that whatever these metal components are, that it's not slowly degrading or, you know, contaminating the distillate that someone may be vaping? That is what leaching is as a general principle.
Interesting. Okay. You look like you want to ask a question.
No, okay. I just thought it was real interesting. I was coming right back to you to be like, well, what's coming next?
It's very interesting. Can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Yes, of course. So I actually majored in biology and minored in chemistry. My original intent was to go into medicine and become a doctor. Realized that the medical field wasn't quite conducive to who I am as a person. Unfortunately, realized it before I was fully set into a career path. A secondary passion that's always had a strong interest for me, of course, is laboratory work, analytical testing, and getting back into a lab. And that's kind of how I found my way back to Legend. And through my time there, I worked my way up the ranks to the position that I have now as the project manager of the Hemp and Cannabis Program. And I get this, we'll say, criticism many, many times, especially at work, which is, who decided to put the biologist in charge of this division of a chemistry laboratory?
And why hemp and cannabis? What do you like about testing hemp and cannabis? And tell us what you like the most about what you do.
Well, there are many aspects of my job that I enjoy, but I suppose the one that's most interesting to me is the fact that I'm involved in an industry that is constantly growing and changing and evolving. There are no two, you know, working weeks are the same for me. There's always something new, something different. And even though there is the anxiety, if you will, of not knowing what's going to come next, what kind of sample is going to come through the door, what is someone going to put THC into next? That's the most interesting aspect that keeps me going, at least, is, oh, well, let's see what people are going to do next. Where's the industry going to pivot now? It's never a boring day.
Because we're going to put it in cotton candy.
Who's going to put in
cotton? We can't, but we kind of can. We just have to call it something else, and we can't make it look like it. And then we can do it, because cotton candy the kids like, right?
Right.
We don't.
And
we don't
like
want
ice cream,
right? Yeah. And we don't want to market to kids. We're not saying, like, right. I'm not making like that grand of a joke about that. But seriously, we should, like, if I want to put cannabinoids in a Nutty Bar, mm-hmm. then I'm going to put it in a Nutty Bar. I just can't exactly like call it that. But also, if we're looking at alcohol. I mean, alcohol's got all sorts of weird flavors that are coming out now. And how is that not to kids?
You know,
like if they've got a Laffy Taffy flavored vodka, sure seems like, you know, like, and we shouldn't, like, nobody should be doing it. Mm-hmm. But in any case, cotton candy, all those kinds of fun things. Caramels are kind of easy, right?
And
if you made a Werther's,
actually,
then
there actually
be great.
Is a place in the cities that if you have a party, like cannabis party, they have a cotton candy cannabis machine.
Yeah. Well, it's just a cotton candy machine, right?
It makes cotton candy.
Yeah. And then what is cotton candy made of? Sugar.
Sugar.
Right? So sugar. Where's the THC?
It's in there.
The sugar.
It's in there.
Because that's really all that cotton candy is, right? Is sugar.
Well, I don't think they sent their stuff to Taylor first, though, either.
If it's a private party.
If they did, I cannot confirm or deny.
Yeah, that's
I love
true.
It.
That's
client
true.
Names. I love it.
So
I love it.
Of the interesting things that come in, right? And without saying like, oh, this is really cool and that hasn't gone to market, but of what's out there and available within the U.S. or do you just test from stuff from people sending in things from the U.S. or is there stuff coming from outside the U.S. for testing?
The vast majority of all the clients who request our testing services are based in Minnesota.
Okay. Yeah.
I do have some clients that are out of state that are in the hemp industry, as that is recreationally legal, can therefore go across state lines. But I would say 90 to 95% of all of my clients are right here in the land of 10,000 lakes.
Got it. So what are the top two most unique or the top two that you found the most interesting as of late, as far as like product that just came in, you're like, what is this goo?
Oh my goodness. Well, one of the first strikingly interesting products that we got was a bath bomb that was infused with CBD.
I love that one. Yeah, I've heard of it.
Yes. And the intent of the product I thought was exceptionally interesting. Of course, anytime anyone's going to be settling into a nice, you know, warm bath and put a bath bomb in, well, a little CBD won't help get you in the right mood.
Yeah, right?
I'm laughing because we sell those at the good.
You have the bath bomb.
We got the bath bomb. Yes.
Okay, good.
Another more recent, rather interesting one are pet products that have CBD or any other cannabinoid infused in them, you know, dog or cat treats that have CBD with the intent of, you know, relaxing your pet if they have you know, particularly bad anxiety, even pet shampoo with a variety of cannabinoids that advertise to promote skin health. That has been a very interesting set of products.
You got the dog treats?
We've got the dog treats.
Do you have a beard wash, a beard balm, or a beard lotion? Because that's what I'm going to do. I mean, why not? Thought about it this morning. I'm like, I don't know why I don't have CBD. I'm like, I'm sure it exists, but you know, you always go and you make some, you find the thing that you don't have and then you just go and make it for yourself. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what happened with your beverage. That's what happened with my beverage. That's happened, you know, that's just what we get into. Okay. So bath bomb.
Yeah.
And CBD
and
treats.
And CBD treats.
CBD dog treats or cat or.
So can tarantula. I tell you what I'm thinking when I think testing? I'm thinking, I picture someone looking, you know, kind of in a microscope and kind of, you know, dipping in this, dipping in that, which I don't know, right? I've never worked in a lab. And I can tell you, people listening to the show, most of them have not worked in a lab.
Right.
So can you kind of explain to us the process when you get, let's start with gummies. When you get a gummy sample, what do you do?
So for a gummy sample, for testing the potency, you know, the first thing that we have to do is dissolve the gummy into its solvent, usually just DI water. It's the vast majority of the gummy matrices that we get. They're gelatin and sugar-based, which behave quite nicely with water. With that extract, we actually have a variety of very high-tier analytical instruments that we use for analyzing the potency. It's mainly HPLCs, which is a high-performance liquid chromatography. And what this particular instrument does is we can load up an analytical standard. So it's a stock of Delta-9 THC, CBD, CBN, whatever the stock is, and we will be able to tell the exact concentration of the cannabinoid from that standard.
Wow.
And then when we load up the extract from the sample that we have then extracted, we will then compare, okay, you know, where is this coming off on the chromatogram? Where is this coming off on the instrument? Compare its size to that of the known standard that we have analyzed. And that is how we can determine the exact cannabinoid content of any product.
Wow.
Look at that.
They dissolved the whole gummy.
Well,
interesting.
Yeah, I knew
I
this
never
part
knew
of it.
That.
Yeah, it's cool. Now, what happens if it is hemp flower, right? Because we're not testing marijuana flower yet. Mm-hmm. We will likely be testing that very soon as cultivators are you know, getting to cure, right? And so. When somebody sends in flower, right, and this could get a little murky, tell us about the testing protocol, and I have a whole nother question around source and different fun things like that. But how do we take a hemp flower? Mm-hmm. How does that get tested?
Well, the first thing that we do is we will grind the entirety of the flower sample that we receive into what is called a fine homogenate. In other words, what you would roll into a joint.
Okay.
We will then take a small portion, a representative sample of that ground up homogenate, extract it in an organic solvent, usually an ethanol-based solvent, and that will leach out all of the cannabinoids of interest, of course, mainly Delta-9 THC, THCA, CBD are the big players that people care about for their hemp plant material.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, it is also then analyzed on our HPLCs against the known analytical standards with known concentrations of those cannabinoids of interest.
And then, boom, profile.
I love it.
It tells you the stuff.
I love it. So
it's craziness.
What about something like a crispy treat?
Oh, a crispy treat.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. We have had to find and develop a variety of different preparation methodologies for all of the different, you know, sample matrices that are on the market. Needless to say, the way that we would test a gummy is vastly different than the way we would test plant material or a seltzer. But for baked goods, that involves a little bit more on the preparation side, mainly because there's a lot of ancillary ingredients in baked
goods. Do you get to eat them first?
Oh, no, ma'am.
After you're off of work.
Let me test it.
Oh, yes. I cannot tell
you how we're catching some saliva in this. How the hell did that get
some
in
D,
there?
Some DNA.
Galandra took a bite.
Oh. It tastes good. It's a real fruity treat.
I'll tell you what it feels like in a second.
Oh, I cannot tell you how many times I've had that joke, you know, thrown at me.
I bet.
I absolutely love it. You know, the running one of the running jokes that we have is, you know, even though we have this fleet of high-tier analytical instruments, the running joke is, well, I can offer you a two-hour rush qualitative cannabinoids analysis, which is, okay, I'll eat it and let you know in 2 hours if it's not too good, pretty good, or I can't remember what my name is. All in jest.
I love it.
That's awesome.
So what would you do to, like, a crispy treat? And is it the same as the way you would test a cookie?
Mostly, yes. The vast majority of all baked goods, mm-hmm. you know, a cookie, a Rice Krispie treat, have the same preparation methodologies before the final extract that we get from them is analyzed on the instrument. That actually kind of gets to one of the other, we'll say, fun aspects about my job and my position that you mentioned earlier. You know, with every, you know, like I mentioned, with how the industry is growing and moving, you know, people are putting THC and CBD into all manner of different products. Lance, you mentioned earlier, cotton candy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And whenever something comes up, comes into our door that has a, you know, we'll say a different chemical makeup, different material properties than what we've seen in the past. It's kind of like Christmas, where we'll gather around and see, oh, what present did we get? How are we going to prepare this? How are we going to, you know, make sure that we can get a highly accurate, you know, value of what the actual cannabinoid content in it is in this product based on its particular nature.
Interesting.
So they eat it. That's not what they do.
No, we do not.
Right,
eat it.
Right.
But I mean, what I got on
it sounded funny though.
That's how I do it. That's why I have to send
that's, it. It sounds like that to me too. They eat it. Like they test half of it.
Right, yeah. Right. Okay, so we used ethanol for the flower, right? We used DI water.
For the gummy.
And so what is used for a crispy treat in order to get it, or is that proprietary?
As much as I would love to discuss exactly how we do it.
We got one.
I love it.
We've already ran into
it. He talked to the lawyer before he came.
No.
That's what it sounded like to me. Oh, he met with the lawyer yesterday at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, I hear you're going on a podcast
that's
tomorrow.
Right.
You better
that's
keep
right.
the secret,
Let's go down this checklist.
Right.
we will comply with the lawyer's request, just so you know.
Yes, we will.
It's not particularly for any legal reason, but rather, you know, call it the secret sauce of our company.
Sure. I like you that. Know, okay.
One of the aspects of this growing and evolving industry that we have to contend with is all too frequently, whenever there are new products on the market, there's not established testing methodology. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you test a baked good? How do you test a gummy? Now, hemp plant material and cannabis plant material has been around for a long time. And of course, there are established testing methodologies for those matrices and those sample types. Mm-hmm. But whenever something new and interesting comes out, a lot of the times when we approach it, the amount of information that we can get regarding, what are some of the published preparation techniques and analytical techniques, doesn't yield a lot of viable information, or it's simply not there. Mm-hmm. I would be hard pressed to find any, you know, established agency that has a verified and published and vetted method for how to test cotton candy for
right.
its THC content. And so whenever such samples do arise and do show up at our door, we really have to devise our own preparation methodologies, validate them, make sure that they're both accurate and precise. And baked goods has been one of the newer sample types that's recently mm-hmm. begun to show up. And I'm very proud of my team over at Legend that's figured out a very, very accurate way to test for baked goods. And frankly, I'm a little less inclined to disclose those exact mm-hmm. methods. They may not necessarily be proprietary, but it's one of the things that sets Legend above is I've got a team that is so talented that they can figure out these unique preparation methodologies, whereas a lot of other laboratories may not be able to.
Sure. I dig
it. That's good. Yeah. Well, what about like beverages? Oh. How do you go about testing beverages?
Oh, I'm actually glad you asked about beverages because those are rather unique.
Those are the ones you like to taste the most, huh?
Not.
I'm sorry, I could not. He opened the door.
Exactly. Yes,
I prefer coffee, actually. Yeah. Lance, if I may borrow the beverage you have in front of you here. So the way that we test seltzers is actually very unique and different than any other product type that we test. What we essentially do is we'll test it twice, and here's why. The first thing that we'll do, of course, after homogenizing the sample, you know, shaking it up to the mm-hmm. point where, you know, sometimes when you crack it open, it splashes in your face. We'll take that, and we'll take a small portion of the actual seltzer and the beverage itself, run that through our preparation methodologies. But one of the things that we found is amongst all of the product types on the market, seltzers were the ones where the potency content that we would test, the amount of THC that was in them, mm-hmm. was noticeably and considerably lower than what every manufacturer intended. You know, with the 5 or 10 milligram THC mark that the state has, very frequently I'd get someone that would send in a seltzer and say, oh, I'm intending to have this have 10 milligrams of THC. Mm-hmm. We'd test it. Well, it has 6. Well, that doesn't seem right. I believe I did all my math correctly with how much of the concentrate or the distillate I should add. You know, either there should be 10 milligrams of THC in the seltzer. Mm-hmm. And what we found is, okay, well, after we take out the seltzer that we need, if you pour out the rest and look into the can itself, there will sometimes be a film, a residue at the bottom of the can. The THC as a molecule will begin to crash out of the seltzer. It does not stay in solution with the beverage and will actually begin to stick to the liner of the can itself. Okay. Mm. So what we then did is after we take the portion of the seltzer, we'll analyze that and say that comes back at 6 milligrams of THC. That's how much you have in there. We'll dump the rest of the seltzer out. Rinse the can with an organic solvent that is soluble with THC and analyze that organic solvent for THC content as well. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, Lance, to prod your brain with second grade math, guess how much THC we often find in that organic rinse from the inner seltzer?
4.
4? Calantons, that was mine.
Yeah.
4. Can't help yourself.
I'm like mesmerized. Like, 4. He's like explaining it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is. It's fascinating, right? So there's 4 mil. We're finding 4. Are we correct?
Yes.
Near 4? Sure.
Yeah. All too frequently, yes. And so the way that we test the seltzers is, you know, like I said, we'll actually test it twice. Mm-hmm. The first time will be just of the seltzer and the beverage itself. Mm-hmm. The second time will be of the rinsate from the inner liner of the can. And the reports that I issue will actually have 3 THC values for every seltzer that we test. I'll make sure that all my clients know, here's how much THC we found in the beverage itself. Mm-hmm. Here's how much THC that we detected that was on the inner liner of the can that kind of adhered to the can, didn't mm-hmm. make it into the beverage. And here's the total amount of THC, the sum of the previous 2. It's everything that's in there.
Sure.
It's, even though it may seem like a rather convoluted process, it kind of serves, we'll say, 2 ethical responsibilities that I have to fulfill at once. The first is, Lance, let's say you as a consumer, if you were to, you know, see the seltzer and say, oh, it's advertised at 10 milligrams of THC. But if you were to drink it, let's say for the sake of the previous example, mm-hmm. well, you're only getting 6 milligrams
right.
of THC. Unless, of course, you are then rinsing the can with vodka and shooting that. I don't know what your preferences are, but.
Generally not.
I would imagine.
And that. Not in Minnesota. You cannot do that in Minnesota, no, but in Wisconsin. You can do whatever you want almost all the time.
That you can. But you as the consumer, mm-hmm. you'd only be exposed to 6 milligrams of THC.
Right.
And so it's my responsibility to let you know, if you're going to be drinking this beverage, mm-hmm. here's how much THC you're going to have.
Right.
But on the flip side, Calandra, let's say you were the manufacturer of this beverage. Mm-hmm. For compliance purposes, you need to know exactly how much THC is in this entire can. It's irrelevant if it is in the seltzer or adhered to the can as, you know, it's how much did you put in? How did you make this? Mm-hmm. And that is why we also include that total THC, the sum of both the seltzer and the can itself so that you can know, ah, yes, you definitely put 10 milligrams of THC into this beverage. It's a difficult line to cross with seltzers, but that's how we navigate both sides to make sure that the consumers know exactly what they're getting and the manufacturers know exactly how much they put in.
Here's a fun question.
Okay.
As far as percentage goes, right, the percentage of beverages that are coming in that have more than 10%, let's say more than 20% is probably more fair, stuck to the can. Does it happen often?
Good question.
Because this is something that was for sure happening, and a little bit of it happening, I can completely understand that there's product inside a package, a vessel, right? For something of that to stick, small percentage, right? I think small percentage would be fine. But if everything is sticking to it, if we're running into a 10 milligram going down to a 6 milligram, then we have a serious challenge with our can and liner of said can. This is something that was supposedly supposed to be pretty well worked out, right? But cans come from everywhere, and we're doing our best to use the manufacturers that are not having this sticking to the can situation, falling out of suspension. And in your description is in the bottom of the can as well as coming up the side of the can, but not the whole can. You didn't say that. And I understand, like, just as long as it's factual, that's all I'm worried about, right? As far as your response goes, do we still have a challenge like we used to have back in late 2022 with more cans than maybe we think that we're having challenges with?
Ooh. And I do have a follow-up question to that too.
Oh, well, hopefully I can answer both. Mm-hmm. So from what I see with a lot of the samples that we get, mainly the seltzer samples, the degree that this issue is still prevalent has become significantly diminished from a few years ago.
That's great.
There are two primary factors that can lead to the THC of a seltzer, you know, crashing out, sticking to the can.
Yep.
The first is the material of the can itself. What I've noticed is a lot of metallic cans, the aluminum cans, are much more susceptible to having that THC crash out and stick to the can as opposed to glass bottles.
Right.
The vast majority of the seltzers and THC-infused beverages that I get that are in glass bottles are not as heavily subjected to this issue as those opposed to metal. The other, there are a lot of emerging technologies, call it nano-emulsion technologies, with companies that have processes to better homogenize and immerse THC in aqueous matrices. It's still very much so emerging. I have seen varying degrees of effectiveness of these emulsion technologies. I have seen some where, let's say, almost 90% of the THC that would be placed into the beverage does actually end up in the seltzer or in the beverage itself. I've seen some where it's only about 60 to 70%.
Okay.
Granted, it's much better than it was a few years ago, but it is definitely still a problem. I would say those are the two most contributing factors. What is the container that is housing the beverage itself, and to what degree of a nano-emulsion technology is being utilized to make sure the THC stays in the beverage itself.
May I ask a follow-up question before yours? Okay. What percentage of other labs do you think are testing with that type of protocol?
That is a very good question.
Because testing twice, I mean, that's a whole extra step that puts value in what I'm paying, right, in order to have something tested. It's another data point.
There are a variety of other nationally based hemp and cannabis testing laboratories that I know are very big names in the industry mm-hmm. that also do test seltzers. I've seen a variety of testing certificates and the certificates of analysis from these companies that do test seltzers, and all of the ones that I have seen do not seem to incorporate this exact procedure that we use at Legend. Mm-hmm. From what I see, it seems like they will take the aliquot from the beverage itself and test that for its THC content.
Right.
It's not that there's anything inherently wrong with utilizing that methodology or that right. procedure. It would still give an accurate value to the consumer. You know, here's how much, THC is in the beverage that you will be consuming.
Right.
But what we decided at Legend was, okay, we need to be able to give the most accurate value possible to every player who may be having eyes on the testing report from this seltzer as to what's in it. It's mm-hmm. not just the consumer, it's the right. manufacturer, it's any oversight or legislative agency that might want to be checking the certificate. And so I suppose the short answer is all of the lab reports that I have seen from other laboratories are not utilizing this procedure. And it's not that their methodologies are inaccurate.
Right.
It's just that we have made every effort to make sure that ours are more accurate and more encompassing, given the nature of the product.
Sweet. Thank you. Do you still remember your question? I would have forgotten mine by now.
I do.
Good job. That's awesome.
So from the consumer perspective, so if you have kind of your THC residue at the bottom, mm-hmm. I know you said that you use an organic solvent to pour in there and to test what's at the bottom. For the consumer at home, if they were to like pour a little bit out and then kind of swish it around or add something to the can, would they be able to get that 4 milligrams at the bottom?
If what they then add to the can on the back end is miscible with THC, so will cause THC to go into its solution, and then they were to drink that, then yes.
Like Sprite. Let's say they added some Sprite to the can and swish it around. Mm. Would they be able to get the 4 milligrams at the bottom? Because from the consumer perspective, I'm thinking, hey, I pay for 10 milligrams. Mm-hmm. I want my 10 milligrams. I don't want to drink 6 and then when I throw away the can, I'm throwing away my other 4 milligrams.
That's the major challenge with it, right?
Is yeah.
That you're marketing and saying that this is what is in here and then it's not what's in there.
Exactly.
And so that brand should sticker
yeah.
that.
The professor has his finger up.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does.
Okay, we're back to it.
Yeah.
one thing I suppose I would like to clarify.
Yeah.
The figure that I gave earlier that we have been using.
Yeah.
10
yeah.
milligram seltzer. Yeah. There's 6 in the beverage, therefore 4 mm-hmm. in the can.
Yeah.
Those values are really just ones that, I presented for the sake of, easy
yes.
math.
Right.
From all the seltzers that I have seen, I'd say the vast majority of them have a very large portion of all the THC that they intend to have in the beverage itself, in the ballpark of 80 to 90%, if you will. It is quite good. And so I suppose then, Calandra, to answer your question, if a consumer says, oh, there's, let's say this is advertised as 10 milligrams of THC, I want to make sure I get all 10. Well, in all likelihood, considering the process that we have seen with the THC adhering to the can becoming less and less of a problem as technology evolves, in all likelihood, it may be anywhere between 8.5 to 9.5 milligrams of THC that they may be getting. And for all intents and purposes, in my mind, that is, for a consumer standpoint, quite equivalent or nearly equivalent to 10 milligrams.
Got it. Okay.
But to get it out of there, Taylor had mentioned before, if you put some vodka in there and then swished it around, okay, so can't do this in
right.
Minnesota. We're
right.
not recommending this is done. But that would be the way, scientifically, in order to get any of the THC that may have crashed out out.
Okay, you two or three. Producer Sam here. I have a question.
Ooh.
Yes, producers.
Yeah. So, Lance, I hear you being very cautious to say that you can't do that in Minnesota.
Yes.
Right? There is no law against an individual in their own home doing that, though.
Correct. Correct? They can do whatever. People are going to do whatever they want.
Well, but I mean, technically the law is that you can't, you as a purveyor of the product cannot mix the two.
Correct.
But if you, as a consumer of it, you buy the product in a store, you bring it home, you want to get that last bit. You said, Taylor, you said 80 to 90%. That still leaves 1 or 2 milligrams, right? So if you wanted to get that, you could. There's nothing keeping a person who's listening from doing that legally.
That's true. Now, I will tell you, we do have a product. They are alcohol flavored gummies, but they don't have alcohol in them. But
we used to make
it's a kind of like we have a kind of apple moonshine flavor.
Okay.
But it's not moonshine, but it tastes like it. And we also have like an old fashioned flavored gummy. but it tastes like you know you're biting into a old-fashioned flavored drink.
Yeah, it's a little weird to me.
When I
used to guide long canoe trips, right, into the wilderness, we would joke about using our dehydrator to dehydrate alcohol. To I don't think it's possible. But anyway, I'll let you get back
to add to that, Sam, I'm a brand and I have product. And so if I was to say what you just said, that's the reason why I swing so far to the other side of that pendulum, is because you shouldn't do that. And if I say you shouldn't do that, I'm as far away from telling you that you should.
Yeah.
That really, mm-hmm. And I think you were picking that up, but I just wanted
You're protecting yourself.
That's what it is. And Calandra has to do the same thing, but you don't.
No, ain't no Johnny Law coming after me for it because, exactly. I just wanted the listener to understand that it is not their responsibility to toss that because the state doesn't want purveyors mixing alcohol.
Correct.
And
it's THC, just so. It's just to keep people safe, you know how to generally keep yourself safe.
Yeah,
and I'm not suggesting they should. I'm just saying it is well within their rights to do so.
Correct.
Yes. Yeah, people tell me all the time that they take my beverage and they will, you know, add some Hennessy, add some vodka, and they say it tastes good and they enjoy it. They don't like.
Hey, more power to them.
More power to them. Yeah.
Yeah. They know what they need to do.
Yeah.
For themselves.
They come in, buy a 4-pack, say, "Hey, I'm gonna take this home," and I add vodka to mine or gin, and I'm not gonna tell them not to. You do what you want to do in your own.
Well, one of the things I love about our show and cannabis and the whole conversation around this is that for some people this is causing them to drink less. The consumption of cannabis is a bridge to a more sober future in a certain way. So
yeah. I can tell you from my personal experience, I used to go home and drink a glass of wine every night. Now I probably, maybe, this is a huge maybe have one glass of wine a month because I just don't even have the urge. Drinking THC beverages have just kind of taken away my appetite for alcohol. And the THC beverages are, of course, they're healthier than the alcohol. I sleep better. I'm not dragging the next morning. So I would drink a hemp beverage, THC beverage, over alcohol any day now.
For sure.
Great.
I think it's time to...
Time for a short break?
Take a little short break here, and then we'll be right back.
All right. Sounds good.